Boom,
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Ramblecast. It's your good friends Boston, Jack, and Nick. Stay tuned. I don't know where it goes.
It's the Ramblecast.
It's the Ramblecast. It's the Ramblecast. Yeah. Boston is dying, and no Jay Simpson.
Yeah,
no Jay Simpson. He's en route to Raleigh. He should be landing here soon, I guess, 9:40 our time. But couldn't wait.
He may be in Los Angeles in a white Bronco celebrating his release from prison.
It could be. Yeah,
Could be.
You see the guy that caught some paparazzi guy. He was at a gas station, sitting in the back car, and guy brings his camera. Come on, man! Why? You can't leave me alone. And the guy goes, "Well, we're just asking how you're doing, Juice, and all this different stuff." He goes, "I'm good. I'm just glad to be out. I don't even know where I'm at."
I couldn't believe it's been 9 years. I was like, "Wow!" I was like, "He's been in prison 9 years. It felt like it was yesterday."
And some would say that's not long enough.
No. I mean,
it's been 9 years. It hasn't been longer than that.
He was sentenced for 30 years, and he served 9.
No Nikes.
It got out in good behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, maybe that's now crazy. Now maybe they can pay that.
Are you sure it's not 19 years?
It was 9. Yeah.
Wait.
I mean, he didn't go to jail for murder. He went to jail for robbing those guys.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I'm getting too confused.
Yeah.
Anyways, welcome back, gentlemen. It's been a week.
And we're going to try and keep this one. You're going to hear it at an hour. At 1 hour. Because I know some people go, "Oh, my God, 5-hour podcast. I can't listen to it."
And they're all gold. But yeah, people still come.
Yeah, I mean, if they were crappy, we'd cut them short. But I guess we'll make this one crappy and cut it short.
Sure. Nah, we're just going to cut it short because Chris is dying. And
yeah, I've felt better in my past. Not today. I'm not in my peak performance today. That's for darn sure. But it's been one hell of a week.
Our Patriots won again.
Our Patriots did win. Picked up a W. Some might say they didn't lose. Some say that they won. It depends on how you look at the game. Everything looked pretty good from my perspective. I was pleased with the performance, with the exception of some of the defense. But I think overall, the defense stepped up this week. I mean, they went to a pretty much zone defense, though, didn't they?
Yeah, win's a win. And then Chris sent me a text during the game saying how bad he felt for the Tampa Bay kicker.
Oh, my God.
Is it Nick Foles?
Foles, or whatever his name is. Poor guy.
And I said, screw him. I'm a Patriots fan. I don't care.
There you go. Nice.
A zone defense in the NFL. That's shocking.
Well, I mean, so I was listening to I forgot who was talking about it, but they're like, after the prior week where the Patriots defense left much to be desired, instead of coming off of a short week and saying Bill Belichick saying, "Hey, we're going to fix our defense in, 5 days." Instead, he said, "You know what? We're going to go zone and we're going to fix our defense in 10 days." So it'd be interesting to see what it looks like this weekend.
Who are we playing this week?
Who are the Patriots playing this Sunday? I don't even know. I'm so out of it.
Well, this is what Chris sent me.
The Jets. At the Jets. That's right. It's a Jets game. It's going to be fun.
Why do we even – we shouldn't even have to show up.
It's almost as much of a joke as the Giants.
Yeah, the Chargers.
I used to offend so many people on our listening to the show right now, but whatever.
That was a bad game. Oh, I'm watching it going, "Oh my God, these are two terrible teams." This is what Chris sent me. I actually feel really bad for Nick Folk. I said, "I don't feel bad for anyone who plays against our Pats."
So it was a fun game to watch, and I'll tell you, I watched it on my brand new 4K HDR television set. And I wanted to take a second to talk about this television because of how impressed I am with my new TV. And I did whenever I go and make a big purchase like this, or a bigger purchase like this, I go through like an unnecessary and inappropriate amount of research going into making a purchase like this. So I was looking at, I went to a bunch of different stores. I was looking online. I was looking at all these ratings. I was looking at all this stuff, and I was just ready to pull the trigger. And I was going to buy myself a 55-inch Vizio television, their middle-class 4K TV. And I almost bought it because I've used Vizio TVs for the last 9-10 years, and they've been great, fantastic TVs, great value.
That's what we have.
Great value for the price of what you get. Great display, everything looks nice, and you don't break the bank, you know, with some of the bigger name companies. But I decided to put a little more effort into this this search, and I was looking through some of the criteria of what I'm going to be using the TV for, and primarily I'm using it for a lot of gaming, you know, and I'll do some streaming, and hopefully if I'm going to have a 4K TV, I'm going to be streaming in 4K. And I found this brand. And I used to work in, you know, at Circuit City way back in the day. And there's all these crazy brands like Apex and Insignia and all these cheap labels that make crappy TVs just to make a buck, especially on Black Friday. So I was very wary about this brand. But I looked into it and I started doing research. This brand of TV called TCL. Now that stands for This Creative Life or the Creative Life. This is one TV series. Their high-end TV was rated so highly in so many different categories in which I was looking for, like refresh rate, zero lag time for video games, et cetera, beautiful color, beautiful picture. And I was like, all right. Like, everything I'm looking at, all the ratings online give this TV, like, gold stars across the board. And they say I was reading once one review, and they said it was the best 4K TV that you can buy under $1,000. And I was like, I love it. All right, let's look. I started reading more about it. And I ordered one. I got it through a retailer because no, Jack, I did not have it on Amazon. But I got this TV and it's freaking phenomenal. So I bought the TCL 55P605. It's their 55-inch TV. Amazing television, and it was only $600. That's a lot of money, but comparatively speaking to what's out there right now, it was a tremendous value. And I was super excited, super amped to go pick it up. I picked it up, I brought it home, set it up. It's a gorgeous TV, looks great in my living room. Plugged in my Xbox into it, plugged into all the streaming services because it runs the Roku TV OS as opposed to, like, you know, the Android OS many TVs are running right now. So you get all these 4K streaming services like built into the television. And it's truly awesome. It's really an amazing TV. And I was actually tweeting back and forth with TCL's Twitter account, and they've been going back and forth and a couple of different things. And I invited them to listen to our show, and who knows, perhaps maybe they'll hear my glowing review of their television, and maybe they want to listen to us and share it out to some folks. But they retweeted me about me ordering my new TV, and I have to say, like, it is. And if you guys are anybody's interested in getting a 4K TV, kind of on a budget, that's going to be a high performance TV, TCL, phenomenal television. You know, and there's probably TVs out there that are far, far better. If you're really like a video file and you're looking at the real fine tooth comb things, but you can't get a better TV for your money. And I don't typically jump on here and give this much of a review of a product unless I really, really dig it and I'm into it. But from top to bottom, for $600, you're going to get a phenomenal 4K TV, true HDR. The Roku operating system makes things so much easier to actually get really good content streamed directly to the TV without having to buy any peripherals. And for gamers out there, it has one of the lowest lag times in the industry of like 19 milliseconds or something like that. So like, you cannot get a better TV for gaming for that price. So
lag time for people like me, it was that time, but if you're playing it with someone else.
Well, lag time is actually, when it comes to referring to gaming, it has to do with the amount of time that the TV responds to the signal. So like, you're pressing up on your controller, your system reacts to that instantaneously, but the connection from the TV to the actual display, depending on the type of refresh rate and resolution, et cetera, can cause what they call lag time.
That could affect your game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll tell you that this TV actually has a better lag time than my older TV does. And I wasn't a 4K. So this thing is phenomenal. It's a great television all around. And I highly encourage you guys to check out, if anyone's in the market to buying a TV, check out the ratings, check out the write-ups. listen to what I'm on my review right now and saying that this TV is outstanding. And it's
what size did you get?
Head of his class.
You got 55?
Yeah. They actually only make the 55 inch for this particular series, the P series now. They don't make the 65 or the 40, whatever. It's only a 55 inch.
Now, did you get shipped to you or did you get it at a store?
No, we picked it up at the store.
I thought you said something else, Nick.
Yeah. I did not get it force pooped to me. No, I did not have it shipped. I picked it up at a local store. I'm not going to mention their name because I'm not really impressed with them, but I am impressed with the TV. So thank you, TCL, for a phenomenal product.
Well, you said Insignia, so that made me think of the store because that particular brand of television is only sold at one store.
Fair enough.
So if you're smart, you know what it is.
I will tell you, this was not the worst buy I've ever had.
Yeah, that's that TV Insignia is the in-store brand that's only made for that company.
Yeah.
Well, it's a shame that we can't get on Amazon, but that's okay. Because if you listen to Dancing with the Stars, you'll find out that a lot of our paychecks from Amazon are going to be down because I've told my wife enough.
I love it.
So we operation pay our debt off, and I said, okay, no more shopping at Amazon unless it's stuff like paper towels or cat stuff or whatever, stuff that we actually really need, not the stuff that just kept showing up every day that we didn't need. So yeah, so if you see a little dip in all the podcasts out there, you see a little dip in there, sorry, because my wife has been cut off.
Hey, newsflash. So there is a version of my TV available on Amazon.
Oh, cool.
It is the TCL 55. It's the same TV with the 607, which has an enhanced remote control, which costs an extra like $100. So I decided to not get that one.
What's an enhanced remote control?
It's a Roku control that has like a headphone jack on it. I think it's voice activated, but I didn't need that.
How much is it?
$679 for that model.
That's interesting because.
So if everybody listening to us went and bought one,
we could make it like $5 next week.
We wouldn't notice a drop off from my wife.
Yeah,
there you go. In all honesty, like I'm not sitting here just trying to plug a product that we can sell on Amazon, which would be fantastic if we did. But like, if anyone out there listening right now is seriously in the market for buying a new TV, especially a 4K TV, and you don't want to spend over $1,000. This thing is only $600 or $679 if you get the one with the enhanced remote. It is a phenomenal deal for a television of this caliber and that size.
And it makes sense like now because like, you know, 10 years ago, I was very old school in my ways. I thought about TVs of like, oh, like a TV, I'm going to have it for at least a decade or 15 years or whatever. But the technology of TVs.
Not anymore.
Exactly. TVs is like, cause like the Sony Bravia I bought back in 2007 was like the last one of that series they made with LCD technology, but it's a beast. I mean, it's got the speakers and everything built into it, you know, and all that. But, you know, I bought a cheap LG when I moved out here for grad school. That was real. I was like $300 for my apartment. It's already, and I've had it for 2 years now, 2.5 years. And it's already the pixelization that you can see on certain spots, but it's already blinking. You know, I was like, wow. I was like, I've never had a TV burn out on me. And it's like, this one's burning out after 2.5 years.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no point in spending, you know, like $1,000 or $2,000 on one of these like unbelievable TVs. And the fact that, I mean, they may last another year or two longer than like the cheap ones, but the technology is flipping so quickly. Cause I remember when OLED TVs were being proposed, they were like, oh, they're going to be like $15,000. And then within 1 year of them coming out, they dropped to $5,000 to now they're like, what, $1,200, $1,500? It's like,
oh, no, they're more than that. OLEDs are still up. Yeah, they're still up the $2,000 to $3,000 mark.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, to get one, it's worth its weight. You know, I mean, there's the off brands out there that make them. But yeah, that was the thing. I was like, I had a budget, right? I had a budget because of, you know, money left over from the construction, which, by the way, I have a basement again.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I was working within a budget, and I was like, I was able to save my even more money by going this route, and I'm super pumped that I did. But yeah, check it out. If you have any questions about it, feel free to reach out to us in the show. I can offer you any specs or anything like that on the television that I have.
It's funny how we're talking about TVs. I used to work for Sony, and we made the Trinitron, which was a 19-inch television, state of the art at the time, 19-inch. Mm-hmm. And they emphasized that they want because they didn't want any they were supposed to be built to last. I mean, it was supposed to last like 15, 20 years, these TVs. But they became basically obsolete because of technology change. I'm sure those TVs, if they were still around, I mean, I'm sure someone out there has them, but if they're still around, they probably still work because of the care that Sony put into their products, saying, no, these are built to last. And we also made international TVs that had to have the different, you know, connections. But yeah, it's funny how we hear that now, and they go, the 19-inch Sony Trinitron to last. Yeah, it's just 19-inch people that go, you got me a 19-inch TV? Come on, man.
What, you going to put it in my kitchen? Like, what? Like, yeah. You know, that's what you think now.
My laptop is bigger than 19 inches, but that's how it was back. That was 82, 83, 84, something like that.
And the Trinitron, that was a TV that they were making for years, man. That TV went into the 90s at least.
Right. And it, like I said, it was they were so picky about if one thing was wrong on it, they scrapped it.
Yeah.
And they would go, like, where I first started, we put the carbon lines on the there. If you looked at an old Trinitron, there's carbon lines going across the
screen.
So we'd spray on. That was a fun job. And then you'd have to, they'd be inspected, and if there was one little dot inside the line, it got scrapped and put, and would go through an acid wash and come back around again. But
wow,
that's just every step of the way until it got put in the box had to be perfect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? You mentioned longevity of these things. Granted, I've had this TV for less than a week, but it's the best TV I've ever had.
And it's already outdated.
Yeah. I know, right? It's definitely right. But yeah, I mean, I would love to hear from anybody else who might be in the market or who has recently bought one of these 4K TVs, because I'll tell you, like, I bought my last TV 4 or 5 years ago, and I can't believe how much the game has changed in that short period of time. But yeah, what a great product. TCL, they're dubbed America's fastest growing television company. And I can see why, because I mean, they make a really great product.
I might take a gander at it, you know, look, cause anyone who gets paid every 2 weeks, like I do, September is one of those months where you get paid three times in the month.
Hello.
And so, like, I always, just being cautious, I always make sure I've got enough money to pay for the next month. So this paycheck in October is my third for September, and I've got October paid for now. So it's like this check that's coming in on Friday, I'm like, it's just a bonus check. Like, I have the money. It doesn't need to go anywhere. One of the great things about being single.
Are you sound like somebody.
Oh, like, yeah, your wife.
That's how my wife said, oh, no, we have three. We get paid three times this month. I go, yeah, but we still have the same bills.
Well, Nick, we could be Eskimo TV brothers, man.
Yeah, we could. Well, like, my first priority is I want to buy a good camping tent, because I've got a single man right now that's really great in the wintertime.
You can go camping with Dan.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. I'd buy the TV.
Yeah. But, well, I want to get a three-man tent just for like summertime, and there's a good one that I'm kind of eyeing to get, but I still could afford the TV even if I get the tent. So it's like, oh,
it's, you have an, extra check this month.
Yeah.
Or last month. Wait, this is October.
But then again, kind of going back to what we were talking about before we hit record, the other part of me, because I need a vacuum for my apartment because I'm constantly sweeping and dusting. And Jay had mentioned a couple weeks ago, Anito robot vac. And as I was on the Facebook today, I saw an advertisement for a Samsung special edition robot vac. And I was like, ooh, and it's a Star Wars edition. And I was like, oh man, I was like, they would have to make a Star Wars freaking vacuum cleaner right when I need one. And
you know, why wouldn't they?
Yeah, why wouldn't they? And you have two options.
Oh my god, I'm looking at it right now. That is glorious.
What does this vacuum cleaner go for?
$600 and something.
Oh, is it because it's Star Wars or just because it's...
No, I mean, the good ones are all around $600-$700. Because even Jay's was $700 and something, I think.
Yeah, you can get like a handheld push vacuum for like $18-19.
Right.
Yeah, but why would you want this? Is America, like, I don't want to do anything myself.
I get that.
But you know, the options for everyone out there, like, just so I can finish up, you have a white, you have a white choice, which is the Stormtrooper face, and you have a black one, which is the Darth Vader face. And you got to go with Vader.
Dude, you have to. That thing is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm already plotting of how I can convince my wife that this is a good idea.
Well, you shouldn't have bought that TV. I'm speaking for your wife right now.
Honey, we need this vacuum. We just got the new floors. They're nice and shiny. This thing can help clean them and keep them clean.
Hey, man, it's only $66.58 a month. No interest if you pay it in full within 12 months.
Ooh. That's really not that bad.
That's $800, man. That's a lot of money for a vacuum.
I know. It's just because you want Star Wars. You're like, it's worth it. Totally worth it. But that's like you're, I don't want to steal your line, like, you know, Chris, but like what you're saying before we hit record and I brought this up, if it totally has a Darth Vader or a Stormtrooper vocal in built in the vacuum cleaner, I'd be 100% in.
You know, you have to have it be like you spill something on the carpet and all of a sudden it's like, no.
When the vacuum starts, dun, 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 dun. So yeah, exactly. As it's going around the house. Now, that would be worth $600-$700.
Yeah.
Or once it's done and it goes back into its docking station, it goes all too
easy. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know? It has sound effects.
It does?
Oh, it does.
Yeah. Oh. It's got Darth Vader's breathing. Oh, dude. Are you kidding me?
Look at Chris.
He's really thinking about it now.
Like, I think Chris has taken back his TV and he's going to get the Darth Vader vacuum.
No, never. I can't do that. I might just do both.
Can you get it on jandjack.com/Amazon?
Maybe. I don't know. So it looks like it's got lightsabers and Darth Vader breathing sound effects. That's so cool.
Does it come up to you and go, it like bump into you, go, I am your father.
I am your vacuum.
Well, that's right, because the breathing makes it sound because like a suction sound. So,
that's rad. That's cool.
But no one wants a Stormtrooper.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, who wants a Stormtrooper? That's why they made the Darth Vader $100 more.
Could you go like this? This is not the floor you're looking for. and it goes a different direction. What do you think?
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
No Luke, Nick. No Luke vacuum, no Princess Nick, Leia vacuum.
I want you to buy this. I need to live vicariously through you.
I would really seriously think about it because I need one.
And it's so funny because of all the robots I thought that you would buy, of course you're going to get one that sucks stuff up.
Okay, Tim. Sex robot.
No, what do you – dude, I'm talking about vacuums.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
I'm going to hell. TCL just turned off the podcast.
I really liked it until we started talking about vacuums. What the heck?
Yeah. We don't make vacuums. Especially vacuums.
Speaking of robots, Cliff and I went and saw the new Blade Runner.
Yes, I also saw the new Blade Runner.
All right, go ahead. And I guess we'll talk about it. Skip ahead if you don't want to be spoiled.
Well, I don't think we're going to talk spoilers.
No, I mean, we won't spoil it.
Okay.
Just a good review. I mean, just a review section. I would recommend it.
That's a great review, man.
Yeah. Thumbs up. Well, how long has it been since you've seen the original?
Oh, it's been a while. I'd say 8 years since I saw the original.
It's probably been – that movie came out in the 80s, right?
82.
Yeah. 82? God, it's probably been 30 years since I've seen it then.
Well, you know, the first one is a movie that, you know, people, when I got my 20s or whatever, you know, it's like, it's a cult classic, you know, and like, you know, it always gets the hype. Kind of like how, what's the black and white film? Orson Welles.
Oh,
Rosebud.
Rosebud, yeah, that one. You know, it always gets really hyped. You know, I was like being like the best movie ever, and it's good, but, you know, but like, Blade Runner is the same thing. I watched it the first time. I went, I don't get it. I don't get why people like it so much. You know, I mean, I guess just for at its time, it was so different. Mm. But, you know, the more I've watched, the more I appreciate it. So I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. As you get older, you're like, oh, I see. It's because, you know,
when it came out, I don't remember people making that big a deal about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a flop, I think.
Yeah, because I know I saw it, and I was like, okay, this is a good movie. But it wasn't like, oh, my God, this is – but then I guess maybe it's one of those things where people – like it became, like you said, a cult classic where people started, liking it because we should like it.
Citizen Kane.
Oh, right. Not yeah.
But
that talk about spoiler alert. I just said Rosebud for Citizens Kane. Hey, if you haven't seen Citizens Kane by this point, yeah, then you need to watch some movies.
You've had time.
You've had some time.
But I mean, Blade Runner. I think even when you're young, you don't think about. You just want to see an action movie. Or you want to see something. You know, you don't think about how robots, androids, replicants as they're called in the movie. You know, that's the whole point, is that they are human beings at this point, and all they want is the same things human beings want, is just to live. And that's the point of the movie.
So they want to pay taxes and be miserable?
No human wants to pay taxes. It's just part of life.
I've read some people, I've read on our Facebook page, some people do like to pay taxes. So
no one likes to pay taxes. If you like to pay taxes, there's something seriously wrong with you. I mean, how many times do you go to a toll booth and you're like, yes, I am so glad to give you this $2. Hope you like quarters.
I like the toll booth so much. One time going to Atlantic City, we went through it three times because Siri kept, or their thing kept taking us back in a big loop. I know I've been here before. Hey, do I get like some kind of discount because this is my third time here?
Hey, look, Big Ben, Parliament. Big Ben, Parliament. We actually don't have toll booths anymore up here in the wonderful state of Massachusetts.
Because you got marijuana's legal.
That too. No, but they removed all of our tolls, and we now have electronic tolling systems.
Oh, so you still have to pay.
Yeah, you still pay. So like in between each exit on the highway, there's actually like they call gantries. So they look like it's like this thing that goes across the entire width of the highway, and it picks up on your Easy Pass or your electronic toll.
So all those friendly people that collect the tolls are now out of a job?
They are. But no, they are not out of a job, actually. That was actually a big point of bone of contention when the whole thing was going on. So they're all reappropriated with other jobs within the Mass DOT.
Okay. So yeah. That's good.
Yeah, it's like a lot of jobs. Like in my job, it's almost impossible to be fired or laid off. They just will repurpose you somewhere else and retrain you.
Yeah. Hey, Squirrel, let's go back to Blade Runner real quick.
Oh, Blade Runner. Yeah, right.
So Blade Runner, man, that movie was great. You know, there's one criticism I have, and it's not a criticism of the movie whatsoever. And I can't remember who – I actually saw this. Somebody pointed this out. I can't take credit. This is not an original review thought of mine, but I think it might have been someone from Facebook that posted this. But that movie has been marketed in a way that highlighted Harrison Ford. I wish they didn't do that. Like, I wish they let that be as much of a surprise as possible. Because I think that would have had so much more of an impact while watching the flick. Maybe to only those who actually watched the original, but like Harrison Ford's, you know, presence in the movie is not nearly as big and as large as you think it's going to be until he's in there for like the last third, like the last act, if you will.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I really did. I mean, it's funny. I'm going to tell you how I love this movie. Yeah, I still fell asleep watching it twice. Now I'll explain to you why. But the action scenes were fantastic. The movie was beautifully shot, and special kudos to, Hans Zimmer and Benjamin Wallfisch. I'm not really sure who he is, but he's a composer. The score for this movie is impressive. Like, just such powerful, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like this sensory, oral sensory overload, I guess you could, is the best way to put it, because of the score they put to this movie about these big, huge, vast, you know, barren, wastelands, this post-apocalyptic setting, and like if he's driving his floating car, it's just like you have this huge bass line, and it's just like industrial, like boom. You actually feel the movie, like you don't say that much about movies other than things like Jurassic Park or those big huge movies that have these incredible scores. But when you're watching Blade Runner 2049, you actually feel it. Hopefully, if you're in a good movie theater. It was just super impressive, and it was very, very complimentary to the movie. I actually really, really enjoyed it.
But it didn't do well at the box office, right? Did I read
no,
that?
No, it didn't. It didn't do well at all. I think it did like 15.
No, it made like 60 million.
Oh, is that right?
I saw the first week and did like 35 million.
Yeah. I think, but they announced that on, like, it was Saturday night. So the weekend was, I think it had to be a projected based on ticket sales. But because I saw it Sunday, and I remember reading that Sunday morning saying, it's a bomb if it's only made like $38 million. But then I think this on Monday, it said it had made 60-something million. But, I mean, we could look it up. We have computers right here. But
it's climbing.
Yeah, but today, I mean, in today's movies, it's like if it doesn't make $100 million its first weekend, it's considered a failure, which is a crime. Right.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, here's the thing. Like, so I've seen, obviously, I recently watched Blade Runner's kind of give myself a little refresher. So I truly appreciate the story. I think people who have seen the movie, the original, you're going to get an even deeper appreciation for the movie. But I also think that it's completely autonomous in the sense where you can go into it not knowing anything about Blade Runner past and really kind of get sucked into it too. So,
I think the only thing you need to understand about the original one is exactly is that there's replicants, which are basically androids who are in the original, they have limited life cycles.
It's like 4 years, something like
4 years. Yeah. And in the end of the first one, the main actress who's with Harrison Ford, who is a replicant, it's discovered that she does not have a life cycle. You know, like she doesn't have an end date. And so that's kind of how the movie ends, is open ended of like, they're together. That's really all you need to understand. I mean, actually just go into the movie.
Yeah, for sure. And what's up with this is like the, I don't know how many movies that, what's his name? Oh my goodness, lead actor, his name. Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Like, this is his, he's typecasted at this point. I mean, I didn't see La La Land, but
that's a great movie.
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, I know I should. Many gasps in the audience right now, but like, he does this like stoic, like quiet, emotionless character really well. You know what I mean? Like, he does. And like, I can only imagine how difficult that must have been, because like a lot of his acting in Blade Runner 2049. Was nonverbal, right? So I it was so many like facial cues to like just being able to kind of like paint a scene without saying a word in a sense. And he did a great job. I thought he was awesome. And then you bring in Harrison Ford, he's the complete opposite.
No, I think she's like he's the same.
You think?
Because well,
I think in this movie he had far more emotion.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's actually one of the first times I've seen Harrison Ford be emotional in a while. But Cliff actually pointed that out to me after the movie was over, how I had said this for years, that Harrison Ford has never been a great actor, but he is one of the best facial actors you'll ever see.
Agreed.
And you can see it like in the opening of like Indiana Jones, like, you know, they zoom into his face, you know, and like he just like you see those facial expressions. He's so good at that. And that's what I'm saying with Ryan Gosling.
But when you say that, I think we've talked about this before. That's being a great actor, I think.
It is, but like I'm just talking like a character actor or someone who Daniel Day-Lewis, who can totally himself and become that person.
But you can't compare him to him.
No, but I'm just saying, like, but there's different styles of acting, because like Leonardo DiCaprio, who many people could argue that he is a good actor, but I would also argue that he's not a very good character actor, because like you look at the examples he's tried to actually be real people, like with the J. Edgar Hoover or the Aviator, you know, like when he's actually trying to be an actual real person, he's not as good as in someone who's basing off a person who actually lived and trying to become that person. He's not as good as he has been in other movies.
Well, like the one he won the Academy Award for, what's the one where he gets mauled by the bear?
Right. That one. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think that it was all right.
I think it was just his time.
It's like, you know, like Paul Newman, they finally gave him the Academy Award. It's like all those great movies he did. And then they go, okay, it's your time.
Yeah, but he was good. Then he went for The Color of Money, though, didn't he? And that was a good movie.
That was a great movie, but it wasn't like, oh my God, that's his best movie ever.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, you have Paul Newman. He didn't even go to the awards because he lost like seven times. And so like, I'm going to go make some popcorn. Or some ranch dressing or whatever.
But Paul Newman, I always liked Paul. Paul Newman didn't really have an ego. I mean, every actor has an ego, but he was one of those kind of guys that if people asked him about politics, he'd be like, I'm an actor. Why do you care about my opinion?
Yeah,
that was his view on things, is that
he's a guy you'd like to hang out with.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, at least I think so. I mean, because I know that when they I saw the making of
Butch just Cassidy, for the leftovers.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Exactly. Well, I know the making of Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. I guess him and Newman had him and Redford had a great relationship, but they one thing they said was Newman had to put up with Redford always being late to the set.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because Newman was very professional. It was his job. Yeah. And Redford, yeah. I mean, he was still fairly young when they did.
Right. I mean, he was good 10, 15 years younger than him, right?
Yeah. I mean, he'd been in some things, and I think he was in his early 30s, Robert Redford, but still, he was still fairly a newcomer in acting.
You know, I wish I could hang out with Daniel Day-Lewis with the implication that I had an exit button that I could press and leave it and whenever I want to, because that dude is nuts. Like, he's one of my favorite actors.
But you know, he retired.
He retired.
Yeah, I know. He's out of his mind crazy. Like, just in the way he prepared for method acting. Like, Gangs in New York, I read recently, he, during the filming of Gangs in New York, he actually got pneumonia because he refused to wear, you know, warm coats or jackets during, like, in between scenes, because he wanted to be really in character. Mm-hmm. So, like, for half that movie, like, he actually had pneumonia, and the dude was acting through having a life-threatening illness, which I think is incredible.
He's extremely talented, but is he someone you'd want to hang out with, though?
Because I just want to, like, it's kind of like getting inside John Malkovich's head. I actually played him and John Malkovich in the same arena. Like, I would just love to try to understand them.
Maybe go out for, like, milkshakes or something.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman. That'd be another person.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, yeah, I remember I don't think it was for the last one he won the Academy Award, but maybe the one before that. They were interviewing Cameron Diaz on the red carpet, and they said, so, like, you know, tell us about Daniel Day-Lewis. And she's like, I don't know. She's like, I never met him. You know, and but she was on, you know, Gangs of New York with him.
Right.
She goes, I've only known him as Bill. She goes, I don't know. I've never met Daniel Day-Lewis. And she goes, I've only known him. And she goes, and then she said that she was, yeah, he scared the crap out of me every day on set because he was always in character and he was a mean kind of guy that wanted to kill me. So,
it's funny when you hear actors, because everyone has a different approach to it. You have the actress that say, okay, here's my scene. I'm ready to go. Boom. And they walk around. I'm Bob, the actor. I'm Bob, but you had this, some actors like Daniel, they're in character all the time.
Yeah.
And you've heard different actors talk about how frustrating it is because they're not in character. They insist on you calling them by their character's name. Then what they're, I just would find that being frustrating, having to go to work going, okay, yeah, I forgot. You're Bob. You're not Daniel Day-Lewis today. You're Bob. I got to call you Bob every single day.
And Jack, you just reminded me of, again, Squirrel, ADD of reviews today, going back to Blade Runner 2049 of method actors is Jared Leto, who is in. And I fell asleep twice during this movie, and it was during his scenes. And it's not because he's a bad actor. I think he's incredibly weird and interesting. But I don't know if it was like some subconscious thing where, like, because the two scenes that or the two big scenes that he's in, it's the same, you know, musical score and visual backdrop. I don't know if I got like hypnotized to sleep and I'm actually now part of the Jared Leto army that I was previously unaware of. Huh. But I fell asleep in both of his scenes. And he, for this movie, Nick, I don't know if you can confirm this. Well,
I thought we lost Jack for a minute.
I think we did. He was incredibly forgettable, and maybe because I fell asleep. But it just seemed incredibly forgettable from his role.
Yeah, well, that was not to spoil anybody on this at all, because I'm not going to spoil you. But, like, he was the one halfway forgettable character because there was nothing – there was no motivation established for his character.
Really. Yeah.
And – even in the end of the movie, you're kind of like, well, what was the whole point of Jared Leto? Like, I mean, I get why he was there, but it's just like there was no there's no really beginning to him and there's no conclusion to him. So you're just kind of
So you're saying they could have got anybody to play his part?
They really could have. Yeah, you could have gotten anyone off the street to play his role, really. If you wanted me just to look glazed over like I had been doing Mentos for a month and just say some weird lines, yeah, I could do it. But no, I mean, it's a good movie. My dad gave it a solid A-, and my dad is usually a little off with his movies. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, Dad was actually spot on with this one.
So how many out of four thumbs, how many thumbs do you give it?
Three and a half.
Three and a half, Chris.
My only issue with it was that it's 2 hours and 46 minutes long. And I felt
God, that's like a podcast.
Yeah, it's like an episode of Ramblecast.
That was my only issue, is that I felt it could have been edited down just a little bit.
Yeah.
Now you said that it was 2 hours and 49 minutes. You know that some people are going, see, that's what we're talking about. Your podcasts are too long.
We don't edit on the Ramblecast. Everything is gold.
We don't. Yeah. There's no Jared Leto here.
I will give Blade Runner 2049 a 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it the extra half. Just because it was a really good movie. It was very visually amazing. It was the soundtrack was outstanding. The acting was good. The story was good, but I didn't leave that theater being like, oh man, I've been waiting for this movie for so long, and that would just totally like nailed it. Like, I think for some of the reasons, like, because they're not plot holes, but I don't think I think that they probably I would love to see one of the 7 variations of director's cuts that may or may not actually come out of this movie, because I think there's a lot of stuff that they probably had hit the cutting room floor. That movie is probably 7 hours long, you know, and it was interesting how it was all edited together.
I agree. Like my review actually is 3 out of 4 thumbs, but it gets the half thumb for all the gratuitous nudity.
Yeah.
All the boobage that's in this movie. Do not bring your kids if you're scared of nipples.
Yeah, there's definitely some nippage in this movie. And I gotta say, pretty good boobs in this movie.
Oh, absolutely. I remember.
I will give it,
going like, wow, everyone in this movie has great boobs.
I will give it 4 boobs. And 3 thumbs and 4 boobs. Yeah.
And that was the one little story. So when I get to the movies, there's a father, and he's bringing what I assume, because it's just an educated guess, he had a 9-year-old boy and 11-year-old boy. And I remember thinking, like, wow, they're a little young to kind of seeing Blade Runner. But maybe he's thinking of the 82 version of, like, okay, it's probably just going to be some fighting, no big deal. And it's one of those very typical having kids stories at first, and the fact that like the 9-year-old's holding the bucket of popcorn and he's walking to the seat, and you hear the dad go like, okay, be careful. And then the kid just drops the whole thing right on the floor.
Of course.
And like, I mean, it's not like an attempt to catch it or anything. It's just the whole bucket just on the floor everywhere.
You should not have spilled your popcorn.
But is it one of those theaters where the you buy the big tub, you get a free refill?
I don't know if they, I never bought the big one, because I mean, she's just me, so I don't buy the big one.
See, I do. even if it's just me.
But when I
did for this movie.
Well, I was afraid that 2 hours and 46 minutes, if I buy the big popcorn and the big soda, that I'm going to have to get up in the middle of it. You know, so I was like,
oh, there was a pee break. There was definitely a pee break in the middle of that movie.
And an app break. A couple of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, when the kid drops it, I got both reactions immediately. So the dad was a typical dad of like, I warned you. I said, be careful, you dropped it. So, but he didn't say that, but he just goes, well, I guess we're not having popcorn. And then automatically, it's a very typical 8 to 9-year-old reaction of just like freaked the heck out. I was like, what'd I do? Why is it my fault? I don't understand. I mean, and I'm just like, oh my God, like it's total meltdown in the movie theater. And I'm just like, please, like, Do not ruin my movie by just like crying.
Don't sit next to me.
But it made me laugh at the same time, because it's just human beings. It's human nature to be that way.
You said you went and watched it with Cliff, right?
Yeah, with Cliff.
Did Cliff feel bad for the kid and said, here, I'll go buy you another popcorn?
He actually did get up and buy a popcorn midway through the film.
But not for the kid, though.
Cliff would probably kill me for telling this, but like, so it's a very Cliff thing. So we sit down, you know, we meet Subway, and then we buy the tickets. We go sit down, and like we're sitting there talking, and then in typical Cliff fashion, he kind of goes, you know, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Okay. So I'm thinking like number one, you know, just clean yourself out before the movie starts. No, he's gone for like a good 20 minutes.
Oh, like, man. He forced it before Blade Runner.
Yeah, before Blade Runner. And I'm just like, dang, Cliff. I mean, I know when it hits you, you got to go when you got to go. But I was like,
got to go. That's why he had room later on for the popcorn.
He did. That's why I think it's why he went bought popcorn. It's like, well, I cleaned everything out.
Hashtag Cliff Force Poops again.
Yeah, Force Poop.
Well, speaking of Force Poop, you guys do a podcast with Matt on it's not a top 10 list, is it?
No top 10.
You guys do a podcast on Star Wars, and I'm assuming you guys talked about the trailer that came out.
We did.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Because all the geeks who watched Monday Night Football last night only to hear to see the clip.
Yeah.
For 30 seconds.
And you had to sit through an abysmal game to get to that clip. So Owen and Brew's Barbecue, if you haven't checked it out yet, that's a podcast hosted by Matt, Nick, and myself, where we talk all things Star Wars. And we decided that we wanted to have a reaction podcast to the movie trailer. So we released episode 4 early this morning.
I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm gonna guess Nick hated the clip.
No, actually, no. And I try to keep Owen Brews as positive as I can.
On this podcast, you don't have to be positive. Did you like the clip or not?
I did. Like, the only negative thing I had about it was, like everyone else, the porgs. But we already had a joke with Matt on the very first thing we say. You know, we have a pulled porg sandwich. But no, I liked the trailer. I thought it was very well edited, very well it leads you to the viewer to believe like certain things could happen, but it's a lot of misdirection, which I think is a good trailer does to like make you think this is what's going to happen, but it probably in reality will not happen.
Have you got your tickets yet?
No, Chris, do we have a Fandango update?
So we have a Fandango update. And according to Fandango, I bought a pair of tickets 3 times. if you read on Facebook or on Twitter, Fandango force pooped itself right immediately after and following the trailer because tickets were on sale last night. And I relentlessly tried to get into this waiting room to buy tickets and I finally got confirmation and added to my Apple wallet and my iPhone my actual tickets, which I have got tickets, which I'm excited about. But I looked at my charges and apparently they went through a few different times. So I'm going to have to call the bank and get that sorted. But definitely got my tickets for opening night, 8:30 p.m. on December 14th.
December 14th. Nick, did you get them?
No. Because it's right there. Is it December 14th? That's when okay, I thought it was the 18th. Okay, so I can see it here in L.A.
Yeah,
I'm sure Cliff and I will go watch it. I don't know if we'll see it the opening night, but we'll see it that opening weekend for sure.
But if you want to hear more about our discussions about the trailer and other things Star Wars, and it's a fun show, Owen and Brew's Barbecue, if you haven't checked it out yet. Last night's episode was episode 4. And you've got a couple of guys who are very, very well versed in the Star Wars universe with Matt and Nick. And I come in with a little bit of humor, and sometimes I surprise both Matt and Nick with the level of knowledge that I actually have about Star Wars sometimes. Not as nearly as much as these guys, but it's a fun show. And I think we've got some great topics to come up over the next few months about what we're going to be talking about, especially after The Last Jedi releases, and talking about some other stuff like Battlefront, the video game, which I'm going to jump in and talk a little bit about. And a lot of cool stuff. So check it out. Owen and Brew's Barbecue.
You should start a poll, though. Will Nick like it or not?
That's a good poll. I mean, that's a good, yeah.
That
you
is might a good
as well
poll.
Put that in the full Facebook group.
You never know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm always optimistic. So we'll see. I'm hoping I like it.
By looking at the trailer, it's only 30 seconds. Did you go, that's just a ripoff of this one?
Well, you can't tell. You know, no. I mean, there's obviously already some parallels because like the fact that AT-ATs or what do we call them?
We shouldn't spoil these cool little tidbits that they can find out by listening to our latest episode.
It's true. But you know, there's definitely going to be some resemblance to Empire Strikes Back for sure in it. And I don't mind fan service. I just don't want it to be a straight plot copy of the base gets invaded and then training and then there's a big surprise at the end and leave it open-ended, which is basically Empire. I want it to be its own thing.
I will share that my hot take on the trailer, which we talk a little bit more about on the show, is that I had more of a emotional charge from the trailer for episode 7 than I did for this one.
Yeah, yeah, true.
But I did like it.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
Whether Nick likes it or not.
Everyone will know immediately if I liked it or not. So it will go out over the internet.
Who will you argue with on the Facebook page, Jane Jack Facebook page this time?
Well, Gregory was my opponent for the last one that who liked it, I think, and I did not. So we'll see.
But at least you're honest. You're going to give your honest opinion whether you like it or not. Not that Gregory wasn't giving his honest opinion. He liked
it. Yeah, I mean, I respect. I mean, I said that from the beginning with I loved Rogue One, and so did Chris. It was just The Force Awakens that I had a lot of issues with, and we can get – I mean, we've gotten into that on Owen and Bruce, listen to that, you know, not this past episode, but in the past. But if you liked it, I understand why you liked it. I didn't say you couldn't like it because I didn't like it. It's just it just wasn't what I wanted.
That's how I say it. If I don't like it, you can't watch it. That's just my opinion.
Well, only a Sith deals in absolutes. So that's you, Jack.
Well, that's why I need one of those vacuums.
Yeah, you do.
Anyway, anything else going on in your guys' world? Because we're at 50 minutes. We're at the 50-minute mark.
50 minutes. Wow. And,
I'm actually – got this. Can you see that?
Whoa. I love it. I love it. Jack's using this technology. He actually went to Google and Googled how, you know, he went to jandjack.com/Google to then enter in the search bar timer. And then the Googler result said, Jack, just click your phone. You have a timer on your phone.
Actually, it was pretty easy. Just going to my phone and going to clock and go stopwatch.
Oh, look at you. Oh, there you go. I love it. I love
it. I'm learning. I set up a YouTube page. I'm still working on how to edit the different things so I don't have to show the whole video, but just different clips. And
nice.
I'm working on it.
I do have one last bit that I can share with you guys. And I'll post some of these pictures on the Facebook group, but my costume for my Halloween party that I'm going to is complete. And it was funny the other night. So I'm going with my wife and another couple, and we decided we're going to go as a group for our Halloween costumes. And my wife and my buddy's wife, Karen, they were flipping through Etsy and all these places. They're scrambling, trying to find their costumes. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I got this. So I go on to eBay, and 7 minutes later, I have my entire costume. So I'm going to show you in progression the items that I have currently en route to my residence. And this one here, this first item, is one of the most terrible button-up shirts you'll ever see. This Wait, cheesy.
It's very 90s.
I think Jay has that shirt.
He probably does. So this is a terrible vertical stripe button-down of varying different shades of blue and white.
Those were cool in the 90s.
Exactly. They were. I'm glad. The next item is... is a pair of early 90s Nike high top white basketball sneakers.
You're going dressed to the Fresh Prince.
So you're close, but no cigar. The next item is this glorious, not new, but actual vintage from the 90s Levi Strauss acid wash.
It's not Richard Grieco, is it?
And last but not least, I
had those jeans.
Yeah. Yep. Last but definitely not least, the prop that actually ties the whole thing together is this 1980s to 1990s cell phone to complete
Marty,
my outfit.
Marty McFly.
No, Zach no. Morris.
Zach Morris.
Oh, from the Bell.
Yeah, so my wife is going out. She's going to go as Kelly Kapowski. She's got her distressed Bayside Tigers sweatshirt with the kind of like the necks all kind of cut down.
Now, what are you going to do for the hair, Chris?
So I was going to get a haircut recently, and I said, I'm just not going to get a haircut. So I'm going to let it grow. I got 2 weeks to get a little length on it. Mm-hmm. So slick it back to the back and to the right, and then get some spray in.
They got to get poofy.
Temporary. Yeah. And do a little blow dry, you know, get a little Zach Morris hairstyle. But the best part is my buddy Tim's going as AC Slater, and he ordered a wrestling singlet. He's going to look terrible. Nice. And everyone's going to see his junk.
Who's going as Screech?
Nobody. No one's going as Screech.
Come on.
And then his wife is going as Jesse Spano. So it's going to be great, but I have to work, you know, for the beginning of this party. So I'm going to be showing up fashionably late. And we've already got it all planned out. So when I walk into the party, they're going to know I'm coming. I'm just going to do timeout and sit there and pour myself a beer and then say, all right, time back in. And I've got my little cell phone prop. It's going to be great.
Nice.
That's it for me.
Where did he keep his cell phone? I don't.
Well, you know, he's had it. It's just one of those things he always had. It's kind of become like a joke, a running joke, though, since the show ended. Like when people think back on cell phones, because it was just normal back then. But now when people think about cell phones and they think of that big one, they always think of Zach Morris.
That's how I found it. I actually did a Google search for Zach Morris cell phone, and this is the second thing that popped up, was this little toy prop.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a real one? It's not a real one.
No. No, you can get the real ones. They're like $200.
Dang.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Sell your TV.
I know, right? They actually make replicas that will actually work with today's SIM cards, too, if you wanted to pop your SIM into it and actually use it. I kind of thought about doing for a minute.
I have to get a costume for Colleen and Jared hosting that costume, that party for Stranger Things and all that different stuff. And I always go as disgruntled Charger fan, but she always gets mad when I'm just because I can't go as disgruntled Charger fan now because.
Well, you should go as, you know, Pat the Patriot.
Pat the Patriot?
Yeah.
Not everyone would hate me.
You know who you could go as is, hold on, I forgot the actor's name. Hang on a second. Boy. So you can go as Colonel Saul Teague or that's all tight rather. Michael Hogan.
I knew what you meant.
You can do it. You can go as Salt Eye. I think you could pull that off. You're going to get yourself a Battlestar Galactica.
Get you a patch, yeah, an eye patch, a bottle of whiskey.
What are you fracking doing?
You actually kind of look like him. Just saying.
Thank you. Well, he got all the women on the show, right?
Yeah, he did.
He did. Oh, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert for people who haven't seen it.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the Spielberg HBO special that came on this past weekend? HBO?
No.
What was that?
It was okay. It was like an hour and a half, and it just kind of quickly goes through Spielberg's films and like how they evolved, how he evolved over his career.
No, I would have watched that.
It's okay. I think it's kind of like they did it for Kubrick like 20 years ago, and I think it was better for Kubrick because he only had a handful of films, whereas Spielberg has such a huge catalog. I think it would have been better if they'd done it like in two parts.
Did they leave E.T. off?
No, they talked about E.T. They left. Hook off, and they left.
Thank God.
They left. Always off.
1941.
No, they talked about 1941 because 1941 is very pivotal. It's very important for his career and the fact that he had Jaws and Close Encounters, you know, and then so a lot of people were thinking, you know, he was untouchable. And so 1941 being the bomb that it was critically is what kind of brought him back home to make, you know, to make
Raiders
of the Lost Ark.
I like 1941.
I know you do.
I'm one of the few, but I like it. I thought it has a lot of funny parts to it.
So I am super looking forward to his next upcoming movie. Ready Player One, because I told you guys how much I love that book. And I think he's perfect for this because the Ready Player One, the story actually has so many references to pop culture in the 80s that he owns half of them. So he can totally like run rampant through it and be able to put whatever he wants on the screen. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's a pretty good documentary. It's on HBO, so check it out.
I'll just have to go on HBO. Now
I think it's just called Spielberg.
Spielberg.
So, I think it's just called Spielberg. Nice. I mean, it could have been done a little better, I felt, but it's worth a watch for sure. Right. There's definitely a couple of things I thought was really interesting because, you know, I'm not a director. I don't know how things are done, but like there's one clip where they actually show Elliot when they're doing E.T. and it's the scene where, you know, he opens the when he's been frozen, E.T.'s been frozen and he's glowing and then his stomach's
red. Spoiler for the four people that voted for it.
No, those people know it. So it's all the people who didn't vote for it that are being spoiled.
Wait, he gets frozen? Oh, I would have definitely voted for that.
But you know, the Elliot's going, does this mean they're coming? And he's like, yes. And he's like, ah, like, you know, like, and you see Spielberg, you know, because Elliot's just looking into the camera and you see Spielberg actually giving him direction, like saying, say yes. And he's like, go like this. And he's like, ah, he's like, no, do it bigger. And he's like, ah, he's like, now put your hand through your hair. And he's like, ah. And so that was just neat watching him do that, like in 1981 when they're making the film. And the fact that Spielberg is saying the lines to the kid, you know, and like, I was like, wow, I was like, I really admire sound editors for having to have to go through all of that audio and cut out Spielberg talking, you know, and then resplice that audio back into the film. You know, it's like, wow, that's a hard job.
So now when you watch the Academy Awards, you won't just fast forward or get up and go pee during the best
sound editing.
Sound editing. Oh, I'm glad we have this award. So now you're gonna have some you have more respect for it.
Yeah,
because you know we're all the same way. Oh my God, why don't they just give this like at a party or something?
Well, I mean, there definitely is some interesting things. Like when they get to Saving Private Ryan, I didn't know that you know he didn't on purpose did not want to know where any of the squibs were, where any of the things were happening. So he had actually a lot of his assistant cameramen run around as if they were war correspondents. You know, that's why you get like some shaky cameras here and there and you get like a steady cam here. It's because he wanted it to all be a surprise as it's being shot, like, and try to get it and have that feel of like you're actually someone on the beach running around.
Huh. I gotta watch. I've written it down. I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
That it, guys? I had two show reviews, two TV shows. It's a new TV show season to talk about. Have you guys seen Ghosted yet?
No.
Don't bother.
Okay. I do it to a lot of women though.
So. Yeah.
Hello.
It stars Craig Robinson and Adam Scott. You think, okay, that's gonna be comedy gold.
No, huh?
I literally stopped watching it with like 5 minutes left to go. I go, I can't do this anymore. I said, okay, I'll wait and see if people start talking on our Facebook page about it, and everyone has panned it. Even like the second episode, people go, it just gets worse. Ugh. So you sit there and see two talented, funny guys. How could it be bad? But it was bad.
That's brutal. How I felt about Inhumans, and I haven't heard anyone talk about it yet either.
I didn't even try it.
I saw it at the theater, and it was horrible.
And the other one was SEAL Team, CBS show.
How is that?
It's okay. I mean, it would be a big show in the 90s, 80s and 90s. Yeah. But, you know,
depending on the violence. Yeah. Well, I mean, they had a show called like Bad Boys or something like that came out in like 90 or 91. It was kind of like that too. It was like a SEAL Team, and I remember they canned it after a few episodes because they shot a dog or something on camera, and like they're like, "Oh my God, you just shot a dog on TV!" And like kids are watching it.
I mean, Navy SEALs. I mean, what they go through. I mean, they're the best of the best. So yeah. I mean, it's. I don't think it's hard to portray it on a TV show.
Yeah, sure.
What was that? What was that Navy SEAL show that had the guy from? State Farm Insurance.
Not farmers.
Progressive. Oh. One of the insurance companies.
You mean Allstate?
The guy. Yeah, the guy who played Joe Boo.
Yeah, that was just Navy SEALs. That was the movie. Yeah, with Charlie Sheen. And,
No. Not, it wasn't a movie. It was a TV show.
Oh.
It was starring the dude who played the guy from Major League. You know oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, Behringer, Tom Behringer.
No.
You're talking about the guy from Major League and
Bats with Hats.
Yeah, but that was a movie called Navy SEALs. I'm not sure what show it was though.
Oh, maybe I'm mixing it up
because he dies in the movie Navy SEALs.
Ah.
HBO. I think it was HBO.
Come on, Jack.
Oh,
the movie came
goodness.
Out in 1990.
It was awesome. The show was fantastic.
I got a backlog of movies I'm trying to catch up on. I just got through the 80s.
What's that guy's name? The guy from Major League. Hold on.
Tom Behringer.
No, not Tom Behringer.
The guy that was, I can't think of his name.
Wesley Snipes?
No.
No, the other guy.
Dennis Haysbert.
Yeah.
He played Pedro Serrano. So Dennis Serrano. Haysbert.
Yeah, Serrano.
Was in, oh my goodness. There's people who are screaming at the. There's people that are screaming at their.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The unit.
Never watched
that show. Was awesome. I don't think they actually referred to them as SEALs, but they're American super secret operators. Great show. Had four seasons. If you want to check out a great Navy SEAL show, that's the one.
Now, was he an actual
it also
SEAL?
Stars. Yeah, yeah. So it's Dennis Haysbert is and Robert Patrick actually of Terminator 2 fame was also in it too. He's one of the, he's a colonel. But the show was awesome. It was this kind of cool like dichotomy of like these.
I think I saw a couple episodes.
SEALs who go off and these do these crazy missions, right? And they also had the life of like, you know, their significant others back home on the base or whatever. It was really good.
Was it like early 90s? Mid 90s?
It was good question. 06 to 09.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I never heard of it.
Yeah. Check it out.
But anyway, SEAL Team, it's good. I mean, it's not great, but it's okay. It's CBS. It'll do well.
Yeah.
Nice. That's all I've watched so far, really, of the new shows, and we'll have more next week. But I think it's time to wrap this up. We're at an hour and 5 minutes.
That's a success right there.
There you go. Don't expect this all the time, because Jay will be back here eventually, and you know how he tends to ramble on.
And we actually tend to go longer just to tick him off. So.
Mm-hmm. And it works. But, yeah. You know, if you like this show, you'd like to help support this show, you can become a patron. Go to patreon.com/Jay and Jack, or just go to jayandjack.com, click on the little button that says become a patron. Every little bit helps. This is like, what does Jay say, NPR or whatever he says? It's like NPR. Every little bit helps, and you get great production value because of the patrons. If you like shop Amazon, we joke about it all the time, but now that my wife has been cut off, we're going to need some of you guys to step up. So go to jayandjack.com/Amazon, and you can help us out there.
And if you want to help us out for free, all you have to do is just share your thoughts with a review on iTunes and let us know what you think about the show. That helps us get a little bit more visibility on iTunes and potentially share us out to some of your friends so we can they can hear about all the nonsense that we talk about here on the Ramblecast.
Yeah, and some of you guys, we know you don't have friends, but go out, and this would be a great device in how to make friends. It's a good conversation piece.
Jack, I don't know if that's the right way to go about doing it.
You don't think so?
No.
Being honest? Okay, you all have friends. But, you know, we also like to thank, we thank all our patrons, but we have to like thank four patrons in particular. Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter Glaffelder, Molly the Millennial, and Ed the Letter Carrier.
Yes.
Thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you, Ed.
And thanks, really seriously, thanks to everyone for listening. I think that's all we got.
Excellent.
Hasta luego. And goodbye.
See you.
Bye.